Let's freaking go. LSU, West Virginia. I bring in the best LSU baseball expert that I know, Blake Ruffino. When you look at this series, what is the first thing that stands out to you?
Oh, God. Probably that West Virginia is going to throw a left-handed pitcher tomorrow or Saturday, and Griffin Kern, or Kieran, however you say it. And LSU has massively struggled versus left-handed pitching all season. Okay. I think that that is probably the number one thing for me. And really, they just try to put a lot of pressure on you. Now, everybody, this is what I've heard all week from people. Oh, they didn't do that, this, and this during the entire regional. But you got to take it into the season of what did and didn't happen. Their starting lineup has 104 stolen bases. They will bunt a little bit. They will do some different things. So you got to be very, very much on your toes with them. I'd say, Carter, that's probably the biggest thing that stands out to me. And then can you hit when you need to with runners in scoring position would probably be the next.
Did UALR concern you?
No.
Why is that?
Because I do think talent prevails. But when you do have they worried me from the standpoint that they were taking pitches a lot, in which West Virginia can do that. I do think that I just always felt like LSU would prevail in reference to just them having so much stinking talent. That gap massively is closed with West Virginia. They're really talented, man. They're a really good team. So, but no, they never scared me.
Yeah, I don't know anything about West Virginia baseball. I know you've been studying them all week. But I want one more question here about UALR. It is interesting that LSU dominates them in the first game. And then for what? The next 12 innings, they're whipping you, basically.
I don't agree with that. I don't think that they whipped you. I think that the walks, the hit by pitches, all the other things, you allowed them to do what they did. They did not like string a massive inning like Tennessee in game two in the box, or Arkansas in game three at the box. Like, they didn't do that. That's flat out getting beat because opponent beat you. What they did was, what LSU did was, Carter, I mean, they allowed, I think, three straight walks by Chase Shores. Then he gives up a hit, and not a very hard hit. You give up the home run after a walk. Like, you beat yourself. If you take the walks away, you're not losing that game in game three. So, no, I don't think that they beat you. I think you are beating yourself. Then you go into Monday with the Zach Cowan situation. He also is allowing a lot of walks, and then they get a hit. Like, they didn't beat you. They weren't beating you like that. You were beating yourself over and over again, which you were imploding, and then you were able to figure it out.
I always felt LSU was going to win that game versus Euler. I just always felt it. But I will say, the maddest I have ever been during any LSU baseball game this year was when Daniel Dickinson fumbled that double play. I was like, then it might not really be our night. But I was very happy that they were able to find a way.
Well, that's a whole nother thing. That's another thing to add in there. You're out of that inning. And by the way, you're tied.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, this really could happen. Like, even when Euler had the runners on bases, I was like, okay, we'll easily come back and win this game. And I was like, there's some kind of magical voodoo. And I remember my Euler guest who works with the team was like, don't count us out. He's looking at everybody in the face. And he was like, our coach has a lot of respect and all of that. And I appreciate it, Chris Curry, and all the skip.
I do tip the cap to them. They were a fun story. A very, very fun story. But at the same time, if you take that away from LSU doing that, then what?
So what is the pitching plan for this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, Kade Anderson, Anthony Ianson in games 1 and 2. And then if you're in a game 1 situation and you're winning 5-3, I would expect – I mean, I really just would expect Kade – I mean, it just all depends, right? Like, bullpen depends on – based off of what's going on during the game. So I don't want to say, hey, Cason Evans is coming in game one. I don't know if he would. Now, everybody besides Kade Anderson would probably be on the chopping block if you were down 1 and you had Sunday, Monday. But considering the fact that you got to go into a series with a plan, but if that plan doesn't pan out, then what? You're going to have to run Shores and Newt and all those guys back out there. I mean, the best thing that you could do would be to demolish them in game 1, which I don't see you doing. Right. And then you turn it around and then having everybody ready to go in game 2. That would be the equivalent. But you're going to need Zach Cowan to figure it out. You're going to need a lot of these different guys to figure it out. Chase Shores, Jacob Myers, and William Schmidt maybe even has to go in there. Jaden Newt. You're going to have to figure it out. You got to throw strikes. Look, they're not going to run the ball out of the ballpark. That's not their style. They're not going to sit here and just – but it also wasn't ULAR's or Little Rock's style either, right? Like, it wasn't their style to do it, and one guy got massively hot, and it was what it was. So, I mean, you got to throw strikes.
I'll give you the floor here. You're perfect on the field. LSU starting lineup is what?
The exact same thing they've been running out. I mean, okay. Somebody clipped this, not me. Somebody clipped it and put it on Twitter, which we reshared. I mean, I don't know if you just keep the same lineup that you just ran out there with Ethan Frye in the 2-hole, Bear Jones at 5. I do think in game 1, here's what's the most interesting thing for me in game 1 is if Jake Brown's going to be in the starting lineup game 1 versus Griffin, because of the fact, and listen, there have been a lot of media personalities that have basically called for Jay's job because he's not playing Jake Brown. Jake Brown's hitting 170 versus left-handed pitching. 170. Josh Pearson's hitting 290. It's a massive difference. So I don't know if Josh Pearson doesn't get the start in game 1 based off of that, and then Jake Brown comes in after if they have to go to the bullpen with like Bassinger or whoever they would go in that situation, but meaning West Virginia going with Bassinger. Because you clearly don't have a Bassinger. I think people will know that, but just in case. So I think that – so it's going to be the same lineup. It just really depends on – I don't like moving Chris Stanfield out of the 9-hole.
Hell no.
At all.
I'm a big believer having a fast guy as your 9-hole guy.
Well, it's not even really that. It's not about the speed more as it's so as getting on base.
Yeah,
exactly. Because Curiel's coming up. But Curiel's been really bad against left-handed pitching. Carter, it is their kryptonite now. You could lose game 1. Like this kid's got 100 innings, 100 or 90 innings, 100 strikeouts. Like West Virginia, this is what happens in baseball. You ready? They see a logo, they think of football, and they're like, oh, we're going to blow this team out. And they do no research on it whatsoever.
No, this West Virginia team, Blake, I've done so much research on them, man. They're going to have Geno Smith at catcher, Pat White at pitcher, Steve Slayton at shortstop. That's who's coming in here.
Noel Devine at short.
Yes, yes. They're going
to
have
Grant, Gary. By the way, this series is actually pretty personal to me. If you remember, Do you remember what happened on Ruffino and Joe show when the beginning of the season with West Virginia and Penn State?
No, I have no idea.
Dude, people were taking shots at Megan and Ben. Like, things got, like, very, very dangerously chaotic. Like, very bad.
What did you say about the couch burners?
I said that Garrett Green's not a good quarterback. He's not going to be good. He's a career 53% completion percentage guy, and that he will not get better. Guess what his completion percentage was against Penn State?
I don't know.
53%.
That's if Andy Reid.
If people show you who they are, they are who they are.
That's Anthony Richardson completion percentage. That's low.
Well, is he changed?
Yeah, it's not. You got to understand though, with West Virginia, you know, all the education rates around the country is the southern states are the lowest educated states in the country.
It's the meth capital of the world.
But West Virginia is lower than all the southern states.
West Virginia is the meth capital of the world. Dude, they had a guy on Locked On West Virginia, who put a clown nose on me and used my face as his thumbnail.
Let's go.
No, fuck that guy. So I go in there after the game and like, hey, welcome to Big J journalism of what having right opinions is supposed to look like. Dude's got a flat bill. He's sitting in a double wide trailer with freaking Starlink.
Starlink.
Yeah, and he has no idea what he's talking about. He has absolutely no clue. Like, tell me what zone blocking schemes are. He has no idea what he's talking about. But I want to beat them into the ground.
Yeah, and look, I had the good fortune. I was doing a comedy run 7 years ago, and I just went to Morgantown, and I was able to just walk on the field. I was able to just...
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude, their field is pretty dope, but Morgantown is just... They got a rail car.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't mind West Virginia or the people of West Virginia, but when you're taking shots at my wife and my child, then I have a problem with you. And it was only a select few of the fan base. And listen, go back and look at all the bookmarks and quote tweets that I was sharing. I'm like, y'all never should have, like, dude... It was insane. But here's the truth, though. The truth about their baseball team is that they're a really scrappy club. They're like Kentucky 2 years ago in 2023. They're going to run. They're going to want to put the ball in play. And they're going to hit line drives. They're not an overly powerful team. They do everything well. There's not one thing that they don't do well. And in baseball, more than football, that is dangerous. You hear me? They're going to come out there Sunday with a dude with a Fu Manchu. Talking about meth capital of the world.
Oh, man.
Freckles and a Fu Manchu. The dude walked out of Tombstone. I'm your Huckleberry.
Okay. Is there a piece of you that would want Josh Pearson to start? Because
there's a lot of piece of me, Paul.
Yes. I mean... This guy won us a World Series. You know,
Jake is a really good player. He's going to be drafted. Yeah. Josh is not. But the problem is that in the postseason, when a guy's hitting 170, I'm not risking him striking out the way he's been striking out.
What has to happen for LSU to win the series?
Be themselves.
And what has to happen?
Don't walk. Don't walk, guys. If you're going to give up runs, let them hit runs in. Do not put the ball right over the plate if you got to.
Shout out to Anthony and CT999. Yeah, so
No, Cade's going on Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, let me not say that to CT999. Let me not say that, Carter, because I would just be very appalled if Anthony goes on Saturday, considering he came back on Monday. Now, he didn't. He was supposed to throw a bullpen and didn't because he came into the game. But Jay said that, like, this dude could quickly turn around. And he threw, what, 20-some-odd pitches? He would have thrown a bullpen of 45 intense pitches. So it's not like he's doing anything out of the complete norm. It's just a high-tense bullpen of what he's doing. So I don't know. I will tell you, I'd go Cade, if I'm being honest with you. just in the sense of that I don't like Anthony going on a Friday, a Monday, and then a Saturday. I don't like that. I don't like it at all.
Yeah, give him the extra day. Yeah,
I give him the extra day. And then, because listen, here's the truth. Then you're pushing Cade Anderson another day back. And here's the thing that you had to think about the regional going into if you want a super. Carter, you're probably going to play on a Friday. So then everybody's on a day up, right? So again, it's the fine line of how do you maneuver this for what could be in your future versus what is now, right? Like, you got to win now to get there, but I'm going Cade, man. Cade's brought you to the dance too. And Anthony's been elite, but I mean, it doesn't really matter, I guess, who you go to, but I certainly would go Cade in game one. Well, and specifically too, they have not seen a left-handed pitcher like this either.
Arkansas, Tennessee.
I was gonna take Tennessee, but because of I'm about to do a 15-minute rant show about the playoff and Tennessee and Texags. I was gonna pick Tennessee, but I'm gonna go against my brain here. I'm going Arkansas. Forget Tennessee.
I will say,
it's hard to beat a team five times, man. It's very hard to beat a team four or five times.
Yes, and
Arkansas's got to prove it, man.
Dude, there is not a series I can remember in a super regional between two Power Four teams where one team has far more pressure than the other. And that concerns me for my Arkansas friends that are living and dying by the series. So, I am going to pick Tennessee. I'm going because what Arkansas does is lose these types of series in the postseason. But I want Arkansas to win. I used to interview Dave Van Horn, so I want Arkansas to win.
Dave Van Horn, man. I mean,
he's got to win one of these, bro.
Yeah, he's going to be like the Frank Martin if he doesn't.
Mm. Are any of these other series interesting to you? I know.
Bring it back up. Auburn Coastal. I think Auburn can win that entire side of the bracket. I do think Arizona and North Carolina is very. I think all of them. I mean, Duke and Murray State. I mean, here's the thing with Tennessee, Arkansas, LSU. Here's the thing. On their side of the bracket, if they can win and get in there and win that game one, brother, all right, you can – Carter, you can do it here. You can really do it. So, I mean, this shit's wide open. I do think that left side of the bracket's a little bit more challenging with Florida State, North Carolina, Auburn, because Arkansas is going to get there or Tennessee – and the whole other side of this bracket, you can beat.
I will say, Blake, so I helicopter in, as you know. I do regional, super regional. It's my favorite postseason in all of sports. So, like, I don't watch a whole lot of college baseball during the season, but regional, super regional weekends, holy shit, this stuff is just amazing. Eye test tells me UTSA has legs.
Well, especially against Texas. But you can't – see, here's the thing that happened with the SEC bashing this week in reference to Texas. Carter, Texas doesn't have their ace nor their number two.
Right.
So imagine losing Cade Anderson and Anthony Ianson for the season and winning the conference.
Yeah. So I knew that Texas was banged up, and they've been banged up for months. But – man, dude, UTSA just looked good. I was like, damn, dude. That Murray State Ole Miss series, holy shnike. That was
Carter.
That was great.
Carter, just like it did in this past playoff in football, chalk will rise, buddy.
I'm cheering for the underdog.
Who was the final four teams in the playoff?
Oh, well, yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean,
chalk will rise. Don't let it play with you. Chalk will rise. The most talented teams in the tournament are still in. Arkansas, LSU, Tennessee, North Carolina, Florida State, Auburn.
No. Uh-uh.
Yes.
The preseason number one Texas A&M Aggies are not in it.
No. I'm talking about the you know what I mean, but correct. The six most talented teams are still in. North Carolina is good, man. They're really good.
One of your super diehards, Randy.
Yeah, I saw Randy at Mytook's. I think his page right there, his profile pictures with Mytook there.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I met Randy at Mytook's tailgate during the Tennessee series.
Someone would have to dive deep, but you could find my interview with Mikey Mytook at the 2009 College World Series. And the last time I saw Mikey Mytook was it was 11 p.m. in Vegas. He was in line to go see Zed. So I've not talked to Mikey Mytook since then. So that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, great dude, man.
Yeah.
Great dude.
Yeah. So I want your thoughts on Chipper Jones' tweet.
Idiot.
Okay. Dude, for those that don't know, Chipper Jones did the boomer take and called out
Tennessee vaguely
all the antics that comes along with college baseball. All right. And there's a lot of them. He said he was, you know, kind of subtweeting at Sullivan. He was subtweeting at the players, the bat flips, the style, all of it. I'm not going to show the tweet. Blake, your thoughts on the flair teams, the showboating.
Mick Paul just entered the portal. Hold on. LSU player Mick Paul. Hold on.
Baseball?
Yeah, has entered the portal.
Okay, yeah, tweet it out.
The portal.
I'll retweet you right now.
Yeah, it's okay. What were we saying? Would you ask me? Sorry.
Your thoughts on the antics.
I think the message is not wrong. I think the messenger is very wrong.
Oh, so you agree with him?
Yeah, I do think. I mean, here's the antics that he's talking about. Liam Doyle pushed a kid at Auburn and then got suspended when he was never going to be in a game after that. And then the next two appearances he had against Texas and Arkansas, he got absolutely rocked. The baseball gods got a hold of Liam Doyle. It's number one.
Yeah, the pitcher, he got suspended for the next. Okay.
He got suspended, but it didn't matter because he wouldn't have pitched in those games anyway. It didn't matter.
That's stupid.
They do play like Antigua trying to fight Bear Jones. Brother, he will kill you.
Good. I strongly disagree with you here. Strongly. As I disagree with you on
Carter,
your show.
Carter, you can't show up people in the game of baseball. That's why they're getting their asses beat when you push somebody and then you got your – Carter, they got – Auburn put their big-ass balls on their forehead and said, come take this shit. And they couldn't do it.
I need more of it. Give me more. I'm not trying.
Right. That's not the game of baseball.
I need more. I need more.
But you're not a baseball guy. With all due respect,
I would be the first to admit.
Okay, you don't do that in this game. That's like a level of golf where you don't scream before someone swings. There's just some shit you don't do.
Right.
Like, for example, the whole pimping shit. Like Chris Phillips at SC Unfiltered said, hey, when I was in college baseball, if a kid did that to me, I'm throwing at his ribs. And people say, oh, you want people to get hurt. That's what Chipper Jones is talking about. The bat flip shit has gotten a little out of hand. Some of the shit that they're doing has gotten a little out of hand. Like, for example, Andrew Fisher rounding first base, telling the or second base, squeezing his testicles and like doing something to the center fielder, saying like "suck it," like he's Degeneration X. You don't do that shit. There's got to be a level of respect.
Give me more of it. And this is why. This is why. This is why. All right. If you are a smaller sport like college baseball, you want to bring in neutrals, You want to bring in the regular Joe Schmo? Give me that. Give me the assholes.
Can do some of the bat flips and some of the antics, pushing dudes, grabbing your dick, trying to fight a guy at first base. That's the kind of shit that's stupid. The shit that Chipper's talking about. He's not talking about the bat flips and like the celebrations or whatever. What he's talking about is the classlessness that you play with. Carter, again, they had a player try to fight Bear Jones, and he laughed at him because he's 5'3".
Good.
Literally.
Good.
So, again, that's a little bit – you don't think that's classless?
Oh, it's very classless.
Okay.
Makes LSU look great, though. And makes Bear Jones look great. Smile at him. Should have gave him the too small.
No, he did the worst thing to the kid. He giggled at him.
Yes. Yes. And you see,
it's just like, you know.
But be honest, you being a content creator, the Slosh storyline was so good this year.
But that's not the same thing.
Yeah, I know. All right, but that's my point. Is college baseball is a very visceral form of baseball. The competitiveness, the tension, all of it. And it it's a cauldron of assholeness that makes these games so great. Why is Arkansas-Tennessee the series everyone wants to watch? It's not that Vitello once coached at Arkansas. It's nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with Vitello and Dave Van Horn. Dave Van Horn has never, ever shown up another coach except one time. And that was Tony Vitello, point blank in 2020. And it was good. And it adds so much extra fuel to this.
Here's the problem. Tennessee's like Conor McGregor. Everybody loves Conor McGregor when he's going out there and talking all that level of shit, or Muhammad Ali. But when you're losing, you got to be a little bit humble. Carter, they lost 6 of their last 7 series. 6. They were getting their shit kicked in. Them cheeks was getting clapped. Brother, they got run ruled by LSU, and they were talking shit. They got run ruled.
All right, so.
And you talk – how can you talk shit when you're getting your shit beat in?
Here's my thing, Blake. All right. Is Tennessee's official anthem – is sung by Morgan Wallen. They're a team full of Morgan Wallens.
So a guy that got arrested and a charge that got dropped in the domestic dispute, a guy that got arrested for being drunk and being physical against other people. Yeah, you're right. That fits right in.
Exactly.
Right. It's right in.
and look.
If that were LSU doing it, we would defend it because it's a part of what you do. But there comes a part in time when you're getting your shit kicked in. Carter, if they would have lost in their regional, if they get their asses beat this week, all that talk doesn't mean anything.
Nothing. And it makes it – and like I said, it makes – the fact that – here's the thing. The fact that Sully, all right, a national championship winning head coach, did what he did is so interesting to me.
That's a little bit different. They screwed Sully, and Sully didn't defend himself, which was stupid.
So you're actually on his side.
I am on his side, yes. I'm not on his side in reference to him, some of the words he used to somebody I'm not on that. I think he could have used better words. He's got his starting pitcher warming up, and then they move the game back an hour on him.
Yeah,
and then the guy's got to stop, and then he's got to restart again. If you've ever played the game of baseball, that's a massive no-no. That's how guys get hurt, Carter. Why do guys in 30-minute weather delays don't come back in the game? 45-minute weather delays. They don't come back mainly due to the fact they got to go warm up again. And then, you know, like, that's why it doesn't happen. People get hurt in those situations.
Yeah, so one thing I don't talk about a lot on here, Blake, is, like, I'm a sports medicine nerd, like a physiology and all that stuff. It's so crazy the juxtaposition of baseball and softball where Texas Tech just buys this one pitcher. And they can win.
They still lost last night.
Yeah, because she threw the ball out of the zone on an intentional walk. This is still the wildest thing I've ever seen in a game. And then in baseball, you have you got to have a gazillion arms. And it's just a simple difference in physical motion, an overhand and an underhand motion. I love it. I freaking love these weird different intricacies of baseball. But my last thing on the assholes of college baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I say this because you legitimately love it. And some of our viewers legitimately love it.
Yes.
I like it. There's a difference. Like if I like, I need something a little
extra. Baseball was on our TV all day today.
Yes.
After you argued me and I got really mean DMs again from last night's episode, I did go back and watch LSU Ole Miss. That was the first thing I did this morning.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and do what? I'm not getting that conversation with you again. I got some seriously bad DMs. I'm not doing it again.
Hey, that's part of it, man. And
no, it's not. It's not. I'm not doing it with you.
So we're not allowed to ever talk about him again. Ever.
Yeah, it's like Voldemort. You can't say his name.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna say his name.
He who shall not be spoken.
That's a different
story. I went back and watched that game from start to end.
But truth be told. I wrote on my prep, this will be the only all-baseball show I ever do. Because you're my favorite LSU baseball
player. Hold on. I'm just joking. I'm talking about him tonight.
You should.
Clear up the point of where I sit.
But
I think context gets lost in a debate of where people sit. Right? Like, I fully believe that. Like, I don't think either one of us last night were saying that we don't think that he cannot get better. That's not what any of us were saying, especially me. I just have a massive concern that I don't know if he will get better with the turnovers, and that's the only thing.
I'm with you. And look, I think the truth, and I know this is cliche, is probably in the middle, right? And it is oftentimes on the debate. You're a big believer. Hey, respect your opponent. One final thing on the respect your opponent thing. I am happy, though, that our team isn't an asshole team. I don't want my team to be that, okay? I do like the other teams being that. It does add a little something. That's all. But
that's why everybody loves beating Tennessee.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't say that they haven't brought eyeballs based off of what they've done. But every time that they've done something stupid like that, for example, in the regional 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it was, I think it was 3 years ago, Tennessee was in a regional at home, and their center fielder walked it off, hit a home run, walked it off. He was flipping off the second baseman, rounding second. No, here's the truth. If you're a third baseman, when he's rounding second, you should have snuck him.
Yeah, or at least got in his face.
At least stopped him, got in his face. That happened in minor league baseball last night. Dude did something similar. Notre Dame goes in there and beats the crap out of him. Baseball is not a sport where you show people up. It's just not. Baseball gods will humble you. It's an unwritten rule for a reason. And that's what you can bat flip. You can celebrate. You can be Dylan Cruz and do this to your own dugout. Like, that's fine. The problem becomes is when you're disrespecting other people that are out there is when you start losing. Watch him do it again. Again, think about this. Carter, the best pitcher in America, literally shoved a guy and then gave up 12 runs the next two games that he started. 12. The
baseball gods, dude.
The baseball gods. It's like Hercules.
Yeah.
Piss off Hercules and watch what happens.
Can I make one cultural comment?
Yes.
Right, just one. All right. I do blame some of this, because so much of the blame is on Tony Vitello, right?
All the blame, because he allows it. And then he started it.
All right. Yes. I will say, because I see people shit on AAU basketball culture all the time, and a lot of it is fair. I see people shit on 7-on-7 football all the time. But travel baseball is toxic. And a lot of these kids play this travel baseball. They all wear 30 different shin sleeves and all of that. And they do all, you see that at some of these kind of AAU tournaments. So if I would have done that on my AAU team and showed someone up like that, my ass is on the freaking pine. And some of that is allowed now. I just want to point that out. It's not just what's happening here. Now,
well, Heath says that even I'm being too aggressive to you because we debate and we yell at one another. They should be on our phone calls.
Oh yeah, dude. If I mean, there's a lot that I will say as far as the there was something regarding Tristan Keyes announcement. So a month and a half ago, I got a phone call saying that he's about to sign a big deal with Adidas. Don't say anything. And you know, I had to catch myself. I almost said it on the air. So there's a lot of stuff that we don't say. And you're more the insider type than I am.
Well, and there's a lot of I'm glad you brought that up and let people read between the lines on what Heath's comment here is. I mean, there's a lot of things that LSU is not doing that they need to be doing from a football perspective.
I'm never mad.
If it's just on the field, then fine.
Yeah,
but I am telling you right now, as God is my witness, they are not putting in the work to be a playoff team. They're not. Not everybody. They're not.
Football?
Yeah, football. They're not doing it.
Yeah. But yeah, and when I said that about Tristan, so what happened was I did a video about Tristan Keyes. Yeah, a while ago. And they're like, hey, he's signing this thing. And I really wasn't close to saying like that was going to happen. I was just in the back of my mind saying this is a generational amount of money for this player.
Well, and listen, you know, the question becomes with Miami. Miami was the place that he went, and then he signed a massive deal with Adidas.
Yeah, and
Miami is an Adidas school,
right? I think
so. Listen, here's the thing with Tristan Keyes. He goes to Miami, he signs with Adidas, and you're trying not for me to put connections together.
That's what happened to me. I was like, right. Oh, okay. A lot of things are starting to roll. Do I think I have no idea what any kid is going to do? Anybody that's committed right now?
Well, Carter, in today's world, dude, I did a write up from this past weekend for football recruiting. Carter, listen, I think on 3 and 247, and anybody, myself included, people are like, why aren't you posting anything? I'm like, buddy, you're wanting me to come in here and post about what they're talking about. Carter, it's contract negotiations. It legitimately does not matter on a lot of other things. You're wanting me to write up an article when I know for a fact that 9/10 of what everything's going on in recruiting right now is mainly due to the fact that they're asking about and getting lawyers and agents to read over contracts.
And
Carter, if you think that AJ Hawsey came here without having a contract in front of his face, you are misled. You've been misled. Yeah. He had that contract well before he signed it and well before he came here.
Yeah, and look, I because a lot of people say, well, guys have always gotten paid. I was like, no, it's not like this.
But here's the thing, and I want to point this out. You say this all the time. One recruit doesn't make or break you. But when you keep having a slew of them over and over and over again, it will break you.
Yeah, the collective.
For example, at safety, you can't lose Blaine Bradford, bud. It cannot happen. And I don't think you can flip him right now. All things being considered, I don't think you – if he had to sign today, you're not flipping him.
Yeah. I still believe that, but I'm with you. I do think Blaine Bradford is really good. So
he is very good.
But I say that because, you know, because this was a big thing when I did a big Tristan Keyes video a while back. They're like, well, we don't know if he's going to sign or not. I was like, what else is LSU supposed to do? You know, not take his commitment? You know, I mean.
Well, you can I tell you something?
Go ahead. Yes. So you
because here's the thing: it's your job to know what everything's going on in his in what's going on with him. You're getting paid millions of dollars to know that because Carter, at some point, it becomes a PR nightmare for you.
Yeah, I could get that.
You know, like I mean, did you not know that he was signing a deal with Adidas? Did you not know that he was going to Miami and then he was signing a deal with Adidas? And you, in the back of your mind, what was the first thing you and I thought about?
Yeah. Look, I know you got a show.
I put it at 7:05, so I have. I got 5 minutes.
Yeah, but I want to watch your show. That's the thing, because you know, there's a lot of people that cross over and all that stuff. But look, I'll say this: Tristan Keys looks like T. Higgins when I watch him. He's good.
He's got very, very, very strong hands.
Yes.
He might have the strongest hands that I've seen since Ja'Marr Chase as a receiver that we have either had committed or had. That kid is special, man. He's special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there are so many – because when I did the first video, it was like just a deluge. That was the first time that's happened since Perk a few years ago. Mm. I'm really excited about this recruitment. You watched a lot of the DeCorian Moore stuff unfold. You did his commitment.
Oh, I know it. What do you want to know about it? I know every single little detail. What do you want to know?
Well, I felt when he re-announced his top four, I was like, he's going to Oregon.
So here's just the truth. Do I think the kid wanted to be here? I'm not going to pose that as a question. Did he want to be here? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Did LSU, was LSU late to the table? And are they still right now late to the table and paying high school kids? Yes. Carter, I don't mean this in a wrong way, and people got to wrap their minds around this. When Colin Simmons asks for $1 million and you blink and you say we're out, that's how you're going to lose in today's game. It is how you were losing. Carter, he did not start. He was not a starter and had double-digit sacks.
Yeah, so I do, as you know, like I'm not freaking JTL Sullivan or some kind of film expert, but I do take like my evaluations like very seriously. I had a high grade on Colin Simmons and Jeremiah Smith. I mean, I was like, holy shit, if this could happen, I mean, we're looking at better than Arden Key, honestly. And Arden Key's the best pass rusher we've had here in the past couple of decades. I was that high on
yeah,
Colin.
Yeah, I mean, listen, again, Jakeem Stewart. Now, that's a little bit bigger of a risk than I would have taken, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't have bowed out there for the amount of money that was going into that. At the same time, you got to understand what's going on here.
Yeah.
You cannot be scared to spend money on high school kids that miss. I'm sorry. You cannot be there. You cannot be in the situation where Carter, does Colin Simmons win you two games last year? Because I think he won two games for Texas. I think he single-handedly in the fourth quarter won Vandy, and they won by three. And I single-handedly thought at the end of the season against A&M, when A&M went inside the 5-yard line, he was a massive reason why they couldn't score.
Yeah,
that you wouldn't have spent $1 million to have that kid on your roster? You're a fool if you believe that.
Well, I'll put it this way for those that didn't watch Texas. His true freshman season was as good as Harold Perkins.
And it was better. Oh, you I'm thought sorry. It was better. Because Carter, he didn't start and he did. He wasn't a starter and had more production than Harold Perkins did.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously he's gone and he'll be at Texas, whatever. And we still don't know if Texas still would have won out in the end, right? I'm just saying, like, he that was as confident I have been in a player. Because I thought Jeremiah Smith was great. The way I had it graded was Colin Simmons was the best player. Jeremiah Smith was number two. And then Cam Coleman was number three. And that's and Cam Coleman's good.
Yeah, and Cam Coleman doesn't have anybody that can throw the ball to him on the broad side of a barn.
I think he's better than Ryan Williams. I'm serious. I know it's a hot take. I know
it's a little rich for me.
Yeah, it's a scorcher. That is a scorcher.
Yeah, but because you just can't deny what Ryan Williams did to the number one safety drafted as a junior.
Ryan's filthy. Ryan's filthy.
Yeah, I mean, he had that spin move on Malachi Starks, and it made him look like – remember when College Football 25 had to come up with a new update because Quinshon Judkins could juke everybody and nobody can stop him in the video game? They had to update it. That spin move, that's basically what Ryan Williams did to Malachi Starks.
That was the most entertaining catch and run.
Without a doubt.
I've seen, but I hate Alabama, but watching that unfold,
it was the best catch and run since I thought the Jets Georgia game.
Yes, I was like, man, I felt like I was watching that caliber of a player.
I know.
That's just how high I am on
brother. They paying him high six figures. He came to Bama with high six figures,
and guess what? Bama's already made that money back.
Without a doubt, Carter. Dude, he's on the cover. He's on the cover of the video game.
Dude, these young TikTokers love that guy. Guess what? It's your favorite.
He was on Gruden. He was on with Gruden.
And guess what? He's a fingernail painter. That's your.
All right. Well, receivers can do it. Quarterbacks cannot.
Yeah. That's the key.
Caleb Williams got too much sugar in that tank for me.
Oh man, dude. I'm with you. I don't want my quarterbacks. Any other position in any other sport, I'm down with it.
I'm down with it. I mean, go full Dennis Rodman for all I care. Come out there in a wedding dress for all I give a shit. Quarterbacks, no.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a good show.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
There we go. All right. We'll take a few more. Heath, go check out AYS, man. We've been friends for a while. I understand it gets tense. I there's so many of you that text me from my appearances on his show. And I should have Blake more. I go on this show once a week. And full disclosure, I get no compensation for it. All right. He's just my friend. And we discuss quite a bit off the air, like we said. And look, I'm always open. My Patreon that I talk about rarely has like deep, like inside information. I'm the breakdown guy. I'm the analyst. I'm going to give you the perspectives, all that stuff. I will say this about the Tristan Keith thing. So a while ago, I was like, hey, a lot of stuff's about to go down. He's still committed to LSU. But there was an offensive tackle that committed to Miami who made $2 million by committing to Miami. That is a 5-star offensive lineman. So let me ask you this. If I am looking at the 5-star wide receivers that are on the cover of the NCAA video game, and let's just say I overpay for that receiver, and I give him a generationally large bag for a wide receiver, but in return, I get you on the cover of the most popular sports video game that has so much hype, yo, that is so much brand equity. Like, that's a lot for a skill guy, not even a QB. So, it's worth it. It's worth it for a lot of schools, some of which might have deeper bags in LSU. So, look, it's hard. High school recruiting is really, really, really hard. You got to play a different game. And I've spoken to prominent college football players who were paid in yesteryear before all of this was going on. They will tell you it's different. So for those that say, well, this has always been going on, stop that shit. It's not always been like this. It's not. Now, if you want a little bit more of a kumbaya interview, as Randy points out, you can listen to my interview with Charles Alexander. And yesterday, we had the film expert, Iron City Film, tell us that he thinks Garrett Nussmeier is transcendent. I am called the Garrett Glazer. I've had that sent to me for how much I love me some Garrett Nussmeier. I don't think Garrett is transcendent. Our guest yesterday did. He's not an LSU fan. He's not from Texas. Doesn't know Garrett. He is just a film guy. Go listen to our interview from yesterday. So if you want a little bit more of that, look, you've seen me fired up. You've seen me curse. You've seen me be clean. I'm a chameleon, baby. This is what I do. Now, like we always do, next 5 to 10 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. I do think the tense part was the assholes of baseball. Should we welcome that? Well, I'll say this because, look, you do understand that by far the most influential athlete in all of sports is Caitlin Clark. By far. Nobody right now is close to Caitlin Clark. Nobody. The only person that could really come close is Tiger Woods. In terms of one player moving a sport into so much more buzzworthy and attention and all of it. But while Caitlin is still popular without Angel Reese, every single great villain, every single great movie has a villain. Angel Reese says, I don't mind being a villain. People love hate. Hate is what sells. Angel Reese being the punching bag for all these people has done wonders for the WNBA. I can't open Facebook without fake Angel Reese graphics and a bunch of very bad people making bad comments about her. That should never be said out of anybody's mouth. Villains. And the same could be said about Tony Vitello. I don't like Tony Vitello. Good. Good. There's people that don't like me, and I don't think I'm Mr. Controversial. That's the thing. We all, and that's why I was pushing back on Blake so much, is that we all like to think everything just fits in well. No, society is abrasive. Tony Vitello is abrasive. I love it. I freaking love it. Let's go to Dwayne D. We'll take a few more here. I'm this close to just checking out completely on the current model of college sports. The yearly or even less than yearly pay for play model is more than broken. Don't blame the players. One more thing I'll say. I'm not just saying this to protect players. I'm not saying this at all. But it's not the agents that have been the issues. It's not the players that have been the issues. It's the parents. I've seen it. I've heard it. Go ask Pete Nakos, who's the most plugged in NIL reporter on the planet right now. I would love to have Pete on here. And I would bet a good chunk of my very low off-season earnings that he would say that the parents are a major issue. I'm just telling you, it's not me saying this. Not me. Big thanks to our friends at Diet Imaging. No breaks during today's show. And that's thanks to our friends at Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. If you have an event, check it out, xyanimaging.com. All right. So what they do is they have the spinning 360 booth that takes photos, videos, and all of it. I'm doing a wedding this weekend. It's going to be an epic wedding. Pretty freaking excited about it. The only downside is I wish I was doing it with Zion Imaging. I wish I had a little spin booth. Every wedding and event that I've seen a spin booth, even ones that I don't do with Zion Imaging, I'm just like, damn, I wish they had one of these spinning booths. Because it makes your event bigger. It makes it feel bigger. It gives it more of a red carpet type of feel with the spinning ring light. And Zion Imaging, they actually build a fortress where inside this igloo. Check it out, xyanimaging.com. I'm not even giving you any images. I'm just telling you. There you go. All right, so y'all go check out AYS. Great show. And we will be chatting in the Patreon during the game. So patreon.com/LSU football. Sign up today. We're giving away that Ja'Marr Chase jersey. We're going to wait till baseball ends. I'm trying to get Ja'Marr on to give it out. Long shot. It is! Power Hour LSU. Boom! Mr. Heath, starting DBs. Obviously, Halsey will be one. And the other safety will be Cooley. And then the corners will be Delane. And then the other corner will probably be Ashton Stamps. Tonight, we are doing burgers. Let's go. Hey, went in on some burgers. Huh?